So this is our third Sunday talking about this topic called why church? Why is it we do this thing called church? Is it even necessary anymore? With the advent of the internet, I mean, we're in a whole new age where you can, you know, you can do all your shopping on Amazon and it's shipped to your door. You don't need to like go to Walmart or the Bay or whatever. It just comes to your door. And so in this advent of just online shopping, why can't we just do church that way as well? Church has become something I think more than ever today. There's this question of is it relevant anymore? Why we do this thing? Do we need to gather anymore? We've talked about different aspects of church over the last couple weeks and what God wants to do with a gathering of people. The reality is that word called church comes from this idea of a gathering of people. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And when he was referring to that, he was talking about his followers, his disciples, not on their own, not walking out and doing it on their own, but gathering together as a community, a spiritual community. Jesus never said, attend me, but he did say, follow me. Just heard my phone ding. I better turn this off. If you're texting me, come on now. Jesus never said, attend me, did he? He didn't say, I'm going to create a situation where people are just going to gather together and they're going to attend something. No, he says, I'm going to build my church. He said, come follow me. So this idea of church is this idea of community. It's about doing life together. Today we're going to be talking about this idea of community and what that means. It's so much more than a gathering of people. Church is more than a gathering of people. And that's what we've been unpacking over the last 2 weeks into the next 2 weeks. You know, we all desire community, don't we? God designed us in such a way that we don't like doing life by ourselves alone. You know, some of us are a little bit more, we need our alone time than others, right? Some are a little bit more social than others. But even those who like their alone time, who like to be alone, they don't want to be alone on an island. They do desire community. And last week I talked about like some sitcoms in the past. You know, some of those popular sitcoms in the past were these sitcoms that really focused on this idea of community. You know, I talked about Cheers last week. You know, another show that came up was this idea of Friends, you know, where Friends was one of the most popular sitcoms of all time, and it was about this community. And so I was talking with the staff this week, and they're like, man, I realized there's like a whole generation that doesn't even know what I mean by Cheers. And so I just had to play that again this week, if you can play that. Okay, we're just going to listen to it again. You recognize that song? I mean, think about it. They would come every day. Who's the guy, the kind of fat guy who sat on the bar stool? What's his name? Norm, yeah. He would come every day and he'd sit in the same spot. You know, the seat like, you know, formed to his butt cheeks, I'm sure, right? And I'm sure like some of these like chairs here in church, you're like, that's my chair. Is it forming to your shape? You know, but like for Norm, right? Like he could have bought his beer at the local liquor store and he could have gone home and drank on his own. He could have done that. In fact, it's a lot cheaper. But he wanted to be and he wanted to come and he wanted to be a part of community. And that's what made Cheers Cheers, was this aspect of community. Yeah, they could have drank at home. And it reminds me of church. I mean, you can kind of do this kind of this form of church at home without having messed around with a bunch of people that are a little bit weird like me. Norm was a little bit weird. I mean, the people that were a part of Cheers were a little bit strange, but they formed this community. That's what made the show special. But when I was thinking about that as well this week, is that I think that church is supposed to be so much more than that. I mean, it is one of those things where you want to come where everybody knows your name. It is want to be where you can relate because everybody has similar problems than you. But when I look at the early church, there were some certain things that were different that you wouldn't be able to find at the local bar. You know, Jesus ascended into heaven, we read in the first part of Acts. And the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit's poured out upon the early church, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of them and empowers them. And this man named Peter, this guy who was, you know, who had just denied Jesus a little while earlier, now filled with the Holy Spirit, he comes up and he stands in front of literally thousands of people. All this is happening out in the public. It was happening out in the temple. Everybody was watching. So sometimes, you know, when we've read the book of Acts and it talks about this upper room experience, sometimes we think of it as like this small little church room that they had this experience. And no, this was happening out in public. This baptism of the Holy Spirit where people thought they were drunk was happening out in public. People were watching it. They're like, man, they're weird. And Paul gets up and he starts preaching to thousands of people. And in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, it says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine trying to baptize 3,000 people? That'd be quite the spectacle. They were added to the church that day. They were added to the community. It wasn't one of those situations where people came to faith and they just went their separate ways. But they were initiated into the body of Christ through baptism. It was kind of an initiation, a symbol of what God was doing in their heart, and a proclamation to the world. And they were added to the church. They were added to the community. They became a part of that. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus and you've decided to follow him, I want to encourage you today that the next step for you is to be baptized. Sometimes people feel, man, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And I would say, look at these people who were added to the church that day. You think they were ready? I don't think they really fully grasped what was going on. They knew that they were believe. Okay, I think I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and they were baptized, and it is this step of faith. And so, if you haven't made that step, I've encouraged you, make that step of faith and get baptized. Maybe it might seem a little bit scary to you, like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to be in front of all these people. I want you to think about it: 3,000 people. They were getting baptized in front of thousands of people. Not 150, 200 people. They got baptized and they were added to the church. When we read in Acts chapter 2, there's certain things, there were certain characteristics about the early church I think that we can find out about. Certain things that were really, really important to them. If we read Acts chapter 2, verses 42, the verse right after that, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. I want to touch on these four things today. I think when we look at that scripture, there are four things that they devoted themselves to. There are certain things that were really, really important to the early church. And I think that things haven't changed so much that they shouldn't be important for us today as well. Things change within society. You know, I've read in numerous articles and things within society that say, you know, in our society, things have progressed to hear, and the church needs to catch up. The church needs to change. And there's some truth to that, but there's also some truth to the fact that, like, there are certain things that we read in Scripture that never change. Culture has changed, and the expectations within our culture have changed, but the Word of God has stayed the same. And what makes the church is the same from 2,000 years ago. The first part here that's really, really interesting is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. I think that we still need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching today. The apostles, the original apostles, are not alive today, but their teachings are alive and well here in the Bible. The original apostles are the ones who wrote the New Testament. The eyewitnesses of Jesus wrote down their accounts and their teachings. And so we need to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. The office of the apostle in many ways is no more. The original apostles have passed, but the gifting of apostleship is still alive and well in the church. Through the apostles, through the pastors, through the teachers of the church, we need to be listening to the teachings of the apostles and devoting ourselves to that. So that was one of the main things that they devoted themselves to. The next part that we see here is this word called fellowship, which is an interesting word. I mean, that's another word that has become a churchy word over the years. This word fellowship wasn't necessarily a church word, but I don't think you really ever hear it on the street today. You hang out with your friends and be like, hey, let's get together and have some fellowship. It never used to be kind of a church word, but it's become a church word. What does this mean anymore, this idea of fellowship? It comes from that original Greek word called koinonia. I mean, we translate it as fellowship, but fellowship doesn't truly grasp the full meaning of that idea of koinonia that we interpret. But it is this idea of community and a relationship amongst a people with common interests. So you're gathering together a community, a group of people, and they might be different in a lot of different ways, men and women, different of people of different races, countries, whatever, but they have something in common that they're gathering together for. That's one aspect of koinonia. It also means that you're part of a group and you're contributing to it. Koinonia. You're sharing with the whole. You're participating with the group. In this sense of koinonia or fellowship, it's also the sense of unity. When you're having fellowship, it's like you might not completely agree on everything, but yet you're united. You have a common purpose and a common goal. Joint participation. Not only that, but this idea of koinonia that you see in the Bible, you get the sense of a spiritual connection as well. This idea of fellowship, spiritual connection. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to that idea of koinonia. And it's something that we all love is they devoted themselves to eating food together. They got together with meals. You know, sometimes there's kind of a joke in the church about how, like, people just love together and having food. And there is something special about food, isn't there? About sitting across the table from someone and sharing a meal. You know, in the ancient world, that was not something that was just done flippantly. But when you shared a meal, you sat across from the table from someone, you were inviting them into your life. You were making a deeper connection to them. You were placing value upon their life. You know, when I lived in the Middle East, it was really, really interesting that when you would invite someone over to your house, there was an aspect of placing honor upon them. You were placing honor on them, and they would be they would be like, wow, thank you for placing that honor upon me by inviting me into your house. And then if you were to make a meal for them, that would go even further. So you have these people coming from all sorts of different backgrounds, rich and poor. Maybe within the early church there, you'd see black and white. I mean, they were not very far from North Africa, and there was people coming to know Jesus from Ethiopia and Greece. And so you'd have this black and white gathering together. Men and women. Do you know what part, you know what's really kind of neat? Is what made the church grow. When the historians look at the early church, part of what made them grow was their inclusion and value that they placed upon women. We just take it for granted now. I mean, look at this church. It's men and women sitting together. There's value. There's equality. We take that for granted now. Within Greek society, women were considered to be property. Within Greek society, I mean, sometimes we really love to elevate ancient Roman and Greek society and be like, oh man, they were so advanced. Plato, his philosophies were amazing. Yeah, look at what happened back then. Women were property. You were only good for producing babies. And even then, it was like if it was a girl, they would take that little girl and they would expose it to the elements and they would kill that little baby girl because it was not worth living. They would only have, the average Greek home would only have maybe one girl. If they had boys, they would, oh yeah, the boys, they'd accept them in. So there was no value placed on the woman. And in the early church, they'd be like, women and men, bring them together, and they would fellowship together, and they'd raise the status of the woman in society. People want to become a part of that. Sorry, I went on a tangent there. But this idea of shared meals and gathering together and sitting across the table, and oftentimes that would be connected with this idea of communion. You know, today in the church, we hand out like little cups and little bread, and we do communion together. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit difficult when you have like 200 people, but in the ancient world, they would have these meals and feasts together. Oftentimes they'd call them love feasts. And a part of them sharing food together would be remembering the Lord's death and resurrection in communion. The last thing that we see in that scripture that we looked at is this aspect of prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And you get the sense this prayer was corporate. You read through the book of Acts and they would gather together and they would pray. They'd pray and they'd intercede. Yes, they'd pray on their own as well, but they prayed together. You know, within our church, there's different times that we gather for prayer. If you're not aware, we do pre-service prayer, and I invite you to that. We gather between 9:15 and 9:45 in my office over there, and it's kind of small, but it fits us all. It'd be amazing if there were so many people coming for prayer, we couldn't fit in there anymore. That'd be awesome. If you're free during the week at 11 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, we gather downstairs for prayer as well. Next Sunday night, we're going to be starting this once a month thing of a prayer encounter. We're going to be focusing on corporate prayer. This is something that the early church did as they gathered for prayer. And so we don't want to forget that. We don't want to stray away from that. This is part of what made the early church the early church. It's part of what caused the early church to grow. And we don't want to forget that. We don't want to stray away from that. We want to continue to pray together. The scripture that we just read uses this word devoted. They devoted themselves. I want you to think about that word, devoted. It has this aspect of to continue to do something with intense effort, to persevere or persist. Intense effort, perseverance, persistence. So when they were gathering together and they were doing these things where they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, to communion, this wasn't something that they did when it was convenient for them. And this is a touchy thing within our society today, because to be honest with you guys, come on, we do a lot of things out of convenience, don't we? If it's convenience, we do it. If it's convenient, I'll pray. If it's convenient, I'll come to church. If it's convenient, I will, you know, I'll be a part of a small group or whatever. But these early Christians, man, they were devoted to this. They persisted in this. They persevered in this. It was like, oh, this is happening? No. This stuff comes first. My gathering together with the body of Christ, that comes first. That's priority in my life. And I'm not one to like throw on guilt trips, but I got to be honest with you guys. Man, we struggle with this in Canadian society today. Man, we struggle with that. This idea of being devoted. We can be devoted to so many things. But are we devoted to the things that God has called us to do as a church? Even when it's easy. I mean, even when it's not easy, I should say. Let's continue. Verses 43 to 47, it says this. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Can you imagine being a part of that? We get just a little bit of a snippet in the book of Acts. But it's interesting, like some of the things I noticed out of that scripture, you know, they were experiencing the supernatural. They were experiencing the supernatural. They were seeing people healed. They were seeing miracles happen every day. They were devoted to what was happening. And out of that, they're watching the supernatural happen. And I still have a desire for that. Do you have a desire for that? Sometimes the supernatural makes us feel uncomfortable. It's a little bit awkward. But man, I pray that God would stir that up within us, and we would desire that. We would see the supernatural in our midst. They met together in one place, so there was a large gatherings of all of them. They also met together in each other's homes. So there was large group gatherings, and there were small group gatherings. Why is it that we do what we do? Why is it we gather together on Sunday? That's what they did in the early church. They gathered together. They worshiped together. And then we do small group gatherings, and we're going to be talking about that later. People would break off, and they'd be meeting in each other's homes. It wasn't one or the other. It was both. And they shared everything they had. You know, some people in the past, they've read this and they'd be like, man, the early church, they were like communists. They just put everything in one big pot, divvied it out equally. I'm not sure that's what I see in this scripture, though. It wasn't a forced thing. You know, in communism, it's this state-run force thing. But In this early church, what you see is that people were doing it out of the generosity of their hearts. There's nothing forced. People would just be like, man, I have this. I want to contribute this to the whole. Hey, I have this. I'm going to do this. Oh, I have a piece of land. I'm going to sell it. And they took care of one another, and they shared what they had. And I think for us as the early church, I mean, for us who's not the early church, thousands of years later, this is something I think that we could learn and improve on. For us to be sharing together. I'm not going to force you guys into a commune. Everybody put your money in the pot and I'll control it. I'll divvy it out. But it's really neat to see in a community where like people share with one another. And I've seen this I've seen this in our community. It's so neat. I know that's like, you know, since coming back to Canada, you know, that it takes a while to communicate, to accumulate all the junk in your garage, right? I haven't fully reached that like full accumulation where you don't know what to do with all your stuff. But I know that like I can go to like my brothers and sisters here and be like, man, I don't have this. Can I borrow this from you? And time again, I've had these instances of people like, yeah, go and take it. Go and take it. Not holding on to our things tightly, but with open hands and sharing together as a community. Beautiful. And that last part, it says, and the Lord added to their fellowship, their community, those who were being saved. The early church, you know, I don't think they really knew what they were really doing. They hadn't gone to any church conferences yet. They really needed some church conferences to go to. But they were just living out the change that God had done in their lives. And it was just kind of this natural outflow of the love of God. And they were just being faithful. And it says the Lord added to their community. There was this aspect where like God was doing it. God was doing it. If I'm totally honest with you, there are times where like as a pastor, you pastor a church. And sometimes like you feel like this weight or this load on your shoulders. Oh my goodness, I need to like make sure that like everything comes together in the church. I need to like, you know, I need to make it happen and da, 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 da. And you get that. You feel that load. And then there's this voice in the back of my head. I think it's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying to me, really? This isn't your church. This is my church. Matt, you just be faithful. And I realize I don't have all the giftings. I need you guys. All these different giftings in the body of Christ. And God's just like, man, you just be faithful. And I'm going to add to the church. I'm going to do my work. And he adds to his church and the community grows. And it's his work. It wasn't a program. It was just authentic community. And as the community grew, they had to organize and they had to figure stuff out. It was a little bit messy, but God was in the middle of it all. My heart and the heart of the staff of this church is that we would discover these things that are written about in the book of Acts. That we'd be faithful in the teachings of the apostles. That we'd be faithful when it comes to fellowship and community. We'd be faithful when it comes to prayer. But you notice the huge emphasis within these scriptures on community. Wasn't this organized governmental structure? But this emphasis was on relationship and community. Doing it together. And this devotion that they had to one another. They devoted themselves to one another. They devoted themselves to living out this thing called church.